was going to get us started with asking if there was any feedback on some of the stuff she sent. So how about we go ahead and just go down the list of who's here.
This is Krisha.
Thanks, Krisha. Thanks for joining.
Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hello.
Andrea.
Hi, Andrea.
This is Martha. I just came on.
Thanks, Martha. Welcome.
Thank you.
Adrian.
Adrian. Thanks, Adrian. And I think Whitney was going to dial in.
I'm in.
Oh, you're in? Okay, great.
Yep, I'm just going to mute myself.
Okay, no problem. And I saw that Jessica just came on. She might be dialing in as well.
And Kristen just sent an email that said she could not join today, but she is going to add some comments. And additionally, she would love to be involved in implementation. So there's our first volunteer.
All right.
For the next step.
All right. Excellent. Well, with that, I will turn it over to Rachel just to get us started on a few of the items she had sent us via email.
Yes, not to take up a bunch of time, but prior to this call, we had sent out a kind of a summary document so that you could see what all three groups had been discussing as far as strategies to reach their goals. I didn't know if anyone had a chance to review that, if you had any comments or questions about what the other groups had been discussing.
And so who did that come from? What email was it sent from?
Oh, probably one of mine. It would have been in one of the add it yesterday? Yeah, in one of the announcements for or reminders of today's meeting.
I thought it came yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, and it's just called a synopsis of the goals. So it lists the three goals and the work that had been done to date. And we don't need to spend time on that today, but if there were any questions or comments, or I think the link is on live to the live for the whiteboard. You can add comments in there as well.
Great. Yeah, and I think if anybody had additional comments later, I think we're the first group to do section 3. So there's still time to kind of add or take a look at other things if people want to, and you can always send feedback to Rachel at a later date as well. So that leads us to our session today where we're looking at, so in the first session, we came up with kind of strategies for addressing our goal. And then in the second one, we refine those a little bit further. And I don't know if this is what Rachel, yeah. So Rachel has those up on the screen. If you're looking at the Google Doc, they are kind of in the latter half called strategy statements. And then our job today is for under each of those strategies to come up with specific activities or tactics of how to do that. So we do have some heavy lifting today because it's not only the tactics but as specific as possible. So timeline around that, and that's what's up at the top. So what the activity is, what the time frame for doing that, any resources that it might take, who might be able to do that, so champions around this, and then how will we know that we did it, so how will we measure our success, and then the benefits we will see from it. But so some of this we have done already, like the benefits, but the specific strategies for increasing diversity of membership, increasing engagement, and increasing membership. So where do we want to dive in? What are Does anybody have anything off the top of that? And we can start in any one of these if our brain is hot on any topic.
Well, and you have some notes under each one already. So if you want me to highlight one of these and say, yep, that's going to be an activity, or I can delete one of these, any of these brainstorming notes and, you know, say, nope, that's not an activity. We'll take that off the list.
So I just want to be clear here. So the strategy statements are increase diversity of membership, increase engagement, and so forth, right?
Yes.
And then those other things are what we brainstormed last time, that what you're saying, Rachel, could potentially be activities, for example.
Correct.
Okay. Just wanted to be sure I was on the same page.
Yeah, definitely. Some of these are a little more objective-like, so if we just, instead of increasing, maybe we could turn them into, like, actually how to do that. So I'm just looking at the engagement one since we have several of those. And so if we engage in events like the Farm Bill Advocacy Day, maybe the action, the activity is attend or send members, you know, attend events. Such as, you know, or attend events at partnership building events or something like that. I don't know. I'm not having very good words, but that's kind of where my mind goes. What do other people see in terms of maybe translating some of these into specific activities?
Right. This is Martha. That seems to me like our next step too, because they almost seem like strategy statements. The 1, 2, 3 and all and the a lot of the ones under those also seem kind of like more specific strategy statements, but they're not exactly what would we do to enact that strategy. So the activity. So
Yeah. Okay. So what do others think? Any activities around, maybe we'll start with engagement because that's our bigger one. And some of these, I think we can also, you know, maybe some of these don't belong in the list anymore. Or they can be moved around.
Are we, Jennifer, this is Laundrie, are we allowed to add to the list, like for engagement?
I think if there's like a specific activity, I would say, yeah, let's just list them. And I know we're supposed to have 3, but I think in this phase, let's just list the activities we can think of. And then we could always come back and say, oh, yeah, okay, let's combine this one or remove that one or so.
So as we talked about on the board meeting, a lot of these, you are exactly right, overlap. And Rachel knows this and you know this with specific align very closely with the goals activities that the membership committee is working on, which makes perfect sense, right? Because this goal overlaps with that. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things that we're trying to focus on, and it was a big topic of discussion at last year's board meeting, and we continually keep bringing it up, but I'm not sure how to articulate it. Engagement's right, but something with, I'd really like something in here with division engagement. So we're taking a first pass at this with this kind of playbook or talking points that we're hoping to put together for the divisions so that, I mean, we really feel so much of this is increased diversity membership, increased membership, but what at the membership committee we continually talk about is what do we do once we have those members in so that we retain them and have them be happy members? That are, you know, really benefiting from organization participation. So I'm not sure how to totally flesh that out, but that's something that's really big to me that I want to try to emphasize is how can we make these divisions really productive, engaged, whether one of our activities is actually even if we propose to evaluate the divisions, we keep adding divisions. Are there any, you know, we know there aren't standards for losing them, but almost an activity would be, you know, could be to reevaluate to ensure that we're still building a dynamic society, it's still productive one. So.
Yeah, I wonder, and when I think about that, it reminds me, like, so under 2F, so there's a create engagement life cycle for professionals. And that kind of goes hand in hand. So kind of as a member, it says retention, like that is about, and what you're talking about, I think, is exactly in alignment.
Yeah. So maybe, I know I'm getting ahead, but maybe, you know, then some of the activities become to, you know, evaluate the division process, mm-hmm. evaluate standards for division and ongoing
productivity of the division, maybe.
Exactly. Something, yeah, productivity and interest and, you know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Relevance to the organization, you know. The field does evolve.
Yeah, that might be a good idea because each division may be what they are doing to their members, the leadership. I thought that might be a good idea to have maybe a webinar that is relevant to that group, similar, or maybe some kind of activities that involved with that, maybe.
You mentioned webinars. Is that related to the divisions or is that a separate one?
No, it is related to the membership in that division because sometimes sustainability or maybe research group or higher ed, so everybody has different interests. So or maybe international members. So something that is actually giving once a month or something like that, so we can provide them some kind of interactive things.
So an interactive opportunity, I'm trying to make sure interactive opportunity for divisions, like to be more, I guess to be more interactive. Mm-hmm.
So at least something once a month, so that make them, involved in this will make them to be continuously to be a member of that division and also with the SNAB.
Okay, I see what Rachel wrote, so good. It's almost like evaluate, I'm looking at what was written, but evaluate the role of divisions in engaging members. So that could be one thing, and then another is depending on the results, you know. Enhance the role of divisions in engaging members, right? I mean, what if the results come back poorly?
Then does it become a three-step or is that outside of our scope where you actually evaluate division criteria?
Well, because there is some membership. The last membership survey did have some of these questions and the divisions were identified as a area of weakness. I don't remember how long ago that's been. It's been a couple years, but I can't remember if you were on the membership committee at the time. So we may already have some data that supports this effort.
Right. Yeah, and Andrea's right. This has been a topic at least for the past 2 years as far as I can remember.
And it's been all through our membership because it's a two-step thing. Let's talk about how do we bring new members in? How do we bring new members in? But we also aren't doing the best job at retaining them once we get them in. And that's a shame. And we feel, you know, that so much of that between those bookends of the annual conference falls on those divisions. And so we have, you know, what can we do to enhance that? And the challenge on the individual membership committee is that we sometimes struggle with what's in our purview versus what has to, you know, be a conversation of the leadership of SMEB. And so I feel like this strategic focus gives us a little more access to that if we can bring it up and, you know, advocate for this being potentially evaluated.
Right, because we're also at the annual conference this year trying something new with how the division times are placed, right? So that, like, so evaluate any strategies that, so that's kind of a strategy we're trying with the divisions this year. And also,
and giving them, hopefully if we can get that together, some of those starting discussion or best practices to help the conversations a little bit.
Yeah, but kind of change up the format of their division time.
Yeah.
So we need to evaluate. I think you have that, Rachel, evaluate division. It's really small on my screen. So, okay. Great. Any other comments or questions? Oh, thank you, Rachel. That's much better. Around divisions, does that look, anything we want to add there? I feel like that's a pretty solid. Thanks for bringing that up, Andrea. And Rachel, what if we come up with more than three activities, or they just want us to limit it to the three top?
Well, I think if we have more than three that we feel strongly about, we can leave them on. The challenge is that this is going to go to the board to be able to try to make priorities. So at some level, you're generating more work for yourself.
Sure.
But no, I agree. I think if there's more than three that we feel strongly about, and then then the board evaluates priorities and resources.
Okay.
Really thought in second one, increase engagement. So we can combine B and C.
Yes. So under increase engagement, B and C. I was thinking about that too. We've had some really good discussion around this. So what might be some activities there to increase engagement outside of the annual conference? Because, well, I wondered, so looking at A and B together, so increasing engagement, so we have increased our partnerships with organizations of similar interest, then we put the state affiliates there, and then B is increasing the ability to engage in in-person events, education outside of annual conference. So, okay. So A is partnerships, B is education, additional education events, right?
Right. SNEB events is the way I read that one.
Yeah. Okay.
I think what's a little bit confusing about A is, do the partnerships mean specifically the state affiliate? Or does it mean organizations that have, like other public health organizations that would have similar interests?
That's a good question. I think we can decide, or we can have an activity. Technically, I think we could have an activity for both, but then again, we might have too many activities. So,
my question might be to focus it for potentially on the state of affiliate partners, partly just to narrow it down, and I don't know, I guess from my years on the board, and it's always good in theory to try to partner with other organizations, but it ends up being pretty difficult unless it's like a really specific, like a white paper or something like that. But I think something that's more targeted, because we're talking about it anyway, might be to have it more focused for this time period on the state affiliate.
Okay, good. Jamie, did you have something?
This is Jessica.
Oh, Jessica. Okay.
Sorry. So I was one thing I was wondering too is like with that one, I think it's like a good goal, but I don't know if it really fits. If it's like we're trying to narrow strategies for increased engagement, I don't know if like that would necessarily be, I mean, one of the, I guess, top methods for getting members more engaged in SNEB, unless we're trying to, I guess, recruit members from the other organizations.
So is that another nod for maybe taking other organizations off, but maybe keeping the state affiliates?
Yeah, and if it's state affiliates, then that probably could get almost combined with B, because if you're doing more activities outside the conference and it's like regional or statewide, that could be something that state affiliates could work on.
Yeah, I agree with Jessica. I think maybe the partnership could be moved to increase membership, and that we're trying to get those partnerships involved in SNEB. And then with the state affiliate partners, that might work in the state meetings. And so we would break A maybe separately. Do that. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. So maybe A, the members goes to 1A. Whitney, Sue, is if this captures it. So 2A is combined with 1A. And then the other half of it, the affiliates, goes to 2B. Okay, just wanted to make sure. What do other people think of that?
Yeah, I think that's good.
I'm not following that. So are you suggesting moving this piece about the state affiliate partners up to the inclusive to our industry partners?
No, the keeping the state affiliates within number two, but combining it with the events. So 2B, we're increasing our ability to engage in educational events outside of annual conference, possibly through like state affiliates. What do you think of that, Jamie? Does that make sense?
So you're combining 2A and 2B.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's okay. My concern about some of this, I mean, it sounds good, but you know, at the state level, well, I don't know. I mean, I guess there are people like there is the state public health association, for example, in the State Dietetics Association.
Yeah, I was thinking about this too.
About what these would be.
Yeah, I was wondering if a good opportunity. Some states do still have affiliates, but like I was thinking about Illinois, and we have a interagency nutrition council, and I'm like, that seems like a prime place. They're not an affiliate, but it seems like a prime place for a partnership. And there's other, like, I don't know, do other states have the state nutrition action councils?
Well, we have one on the books, but after what we heard at ASNA, it sounded like that was going to be required from FNS going forward.
Mm.
I know North Carolina just started one.
I think Indiana also has one, but I have never been to there, but I know there is one nutrition council.
Yeah, so I just wondered, I was thinking, is this an opportunity for SNEB?
So this is Martha. It really almost sounds like there needs to be some sort of assessment of what is the current state of state affiliates or state affiliate. So like in Jamie's case, it maybe isn't a state affiliate now, but it could become one. It almost seems like we need that information needs to, or that activity needs to take place before we can really make very good strategic directions about how to then utilize those state affiliates.
Yeah, that sounds like the activity. So what do others think? I think that one's very good. Yeah, like step one, assess it.
We call that a needs assessment, right?
Yeah.
I think I remember that lingo from somewhere. And Rachel, remind us again, what's the time frame for these activities? Are we due in the next year or next?
Well, the plan itself then is 3 to 5 years. So obviously we're not going to be able to do every activity right off the bat. So I think, and I don't think that in our call today we need to walk through like every step of the process, just enough so that the board would be able to understand. So if our outcome is state affiliates, and then you've already determined that, you know, assessing feasibility is the first step, then I think that would be enough information where the board could move forward. I mean, we would figure out, you know, who does that group? Is that the membership committee? I mean, who does that work? Is that the membership committee? So I guess just describing this activity, I think, would give the board enough information to be able to make the decision on how to put together a timeline. Not to put words in board members' mouths, but
it sounds good to me, Rachel.
Right. I mean, obviously, yeah, on this call.
So I was just going to suggest just to move the assess feasibility at the first of A, and then just follow that with then determine the opportunity to increase engagement or something like that. So I mean, that is the obvious next step, is to determine how to leverage those, but it does seem like the assessment would be a good place to start.
Yeah, and then I agree. It's like then determine, it's almost like determine the connection again, because while we have them now, I don't think anybody really knows how they're connected, or, you know, I don't want to call it criteria, but so if you are an affiliate, like then what, right?
Now, do we want to, I know we're struggling with this one, but again, this is coming from the membership committee. I mean, do we want to take this a step further and potentially, again, recognizing how challenging this is, expand it to affiliation with other partner organizations beyond state level ones, or do we want to maintain the concentration on the state level one? So obviously, as we know at the board level, currently exploring that an NPRO partnership, do we want to take that beyond?
Yeah, I'm wondering, Andrea, that might fit in with 1A, kind of under our diversity. But I don't know. That's just one.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Right. Because I read this one as the ability to meet in person outside of the annual conference. So at some level, geography is going to define this 2A.
Okay. I like that. So we should make that, I guess, explicit. That'll help us with our specificity.
Yeah.
But is that something we want to add to number one?
I think, Rachel, could you put a note up there for, and then just as a placeholder for when we get up there to add it to the discussion, like other organizations, right? Andrea, can you state it again?
Yeah, exactly. If we want to even consider that as a way of potentially increasing the diversity of our membership, or even, I mean, potentially it could also fall under 3, right? Our number of members.
Right, right.
Recognizing again, and Rachel, you've probably done a lot of this, and I don't know if other people on this call have, who were previously on the board, a lot of this investigation of the logistical challenges and if it is something that, you know, makes sense to try to explore. These dual memberships, if you will.
And also, I thought under increased engagement number two, maybe the building a resource center for nutrition education. I thought that is also there under the goal number two. The other group, they also have that resource center. Maybe it can be moved around because here we were talking, I don't know.
No, I agree, Krisha. I had the same thought, like remove 2C or building the resource center out of our goal and just let it be in goal number two.
Yeah, it is there. So,
yeah,
but
I have the
same
thought.
It is important for the increase in membership, but at the same time, it might really more fit into the goal number two.
That's what I thought. What do others think?
Yeah, I agree. I think that then that will give us kind of three activities here to focus on, which I think was what we were aiming for. So if it's already somewhere else, it sounds like it's already going to be brought to the table. So that would allow us to focus on these other three here.
Okay. Good. Anything else for this increasing engagement activities? So we kind of have three that have been bolded. So assess the feasibility of state affiliate groups, attend events like Farm Bill Advocacy Days, and then evaluate the role of the divisions in engaging members. Anything
I
more for? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, it was just really more a detail on number two. So, Farm Bill Advocacy Day, is that supporting like what the Academy does, or I'm not sure exactly what that is in the context of did SNE do Advocacy Day? I feel like I should know that, but.
Yeah, well, this year we had a joint one. So it was the Academy, SNEB, and who else was there, Rachel? There was at least one or two other.
It was like Food groups. Trust, I think. Mm-hmm. Might
Wasn't
have been
it
one
of CSN? American Society for Nutrition, were they
I
there?
Think so.
Could
I think
be.
They were too. Okay. So I'm hesitant. Yeah, I'm hesitant. I know that's an example, but
right.
I was racking my brain like, do we just leave it as events to represent like SNEB or something? I don't know.
I mean, to be honest.
And I guess where I was going with it is that because there won't be an advocacy day for the Farm Bill every year, is the
right.
focus of them to attend the policy advocacy efforts or that's what I'm trying to figure out. Is this specific to policy, whatever it happens to be, which could be a really good focus. It just wasn't quite clear to me what this was, other than the example of the Farm Bill, what the broader activity focus of this was.
Yeah, I think, well, there's other, like, we've been asked in the last couple of years that I know of offhand to be representatives, like, at the Mediterranean Symposium. There was also another one, another nutrition kind of event, and SNEB was asked to be part of that, to send representatives. But, Rachel, do you know if this one is elsewhere? In other three goals, or is this the place? Is this an engagement? So it's not an internal engagement. This is really an external engagement. Kind of where we're there kind of showing that we are engaged, the society is engaged.
Right.
Whereas our other two goals are more internal engagement with our own members, which I don't think that's bad. It's just
right.
a distinction.
Right.
Well, to me, it seems like this already happens, right? I mean, not necessarily.
We get a fair number of invitations to do things, but we have no resources for anyone to do it. Like, if I can't find someone who is willing to travel to DC on their own dime, then we aren't represented.
The strategy or the tactic here is actually develop a strategy for SNAB to be at like events or something like that.
Right. It really seems like that's a budget issue. If you are able to provide budget for people, it's not that the requests aren't there, that people wouldn't be willing. There's a budget gap for supporting people to do it.
Yeah, so identify the key events and the strategy for having SNAB representatives at these key events. What do other people think about that? Is that kind of more on the right track?
Would you say it again, Jennifer, please?
Identify the key events that we would like SNAB to be represented, and then the strategy for how to, get us there, basically, like afford it, right. And who, and.
Yeah, I like that.
I think somebody mentioned that this B statement might overlap with goal number 3. And I was looking at the 3 goals, and it seems like number 1 is building a dynamic society, whereas goal 3 was be leaders of comprehensive nutrition education research and so forth. So in attending or being advocates at the Farm Bill Advocacy Day, it seems like maybe that is an external event, and it might apply to goal 3 more and be a little related to policy, whereas here I feel like it's how do we provide these opportunities to build that dynamic society? And I feel like B might fall in as one of the events for A. But I'm fine with the way it is, too.
Yeah, maybe we could just make a note to see, or just leave a note, like may overlap with strategies and goal 3.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And just cross-check once they kind of finish their work. I mean, I think it's an important one for the society. So whether it's here or somewhere else, I mean, I'm okay with, I think it would be fine. It should be somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because here it seems, again, like you were saying, more internally. So we talked about, giving people more opportunities to engage with each other outside the conference, so at, like, with regional state meetings, and then we also have about engaging in the division. I don't know if something, like, related to, in terms of being engaged in society, I think of, like, volunteer opportunities and positions like that, so I don't know if we're leaving that to, like, the divisions and the external things, or trying to get more members engaged on, I don't know, with other projects for SNAB, if that a way to engage people or a way to get people involved.
Yeah, it's almost right now we still have in 2A, we have the ability to serve as a local volunteer at the regional and state. So maybe just pull that one. I think, Jessica, that was you, Jessica, right? was talking about. And is that a pipeline for engagement for our members? So activate the membership to be volunteers and critical representatives for the society or something.
And also, like, more engaged in committees, because I know, like, with the student committee, one of the challenges has been getting student engagement in that. So thinking of either ways of creating new opportunities or like looking at what existing opportunities are available, like student committee, and then how do we get more members involved and participating.
Mm-hmm. It's a good observation. Other thoughts around that? Does that become its own then? Uh-oh. My computer went blank. I'm back. Sorry.
Do we need to, not to overcomplicate this, but I guess personally one of the things I've wondered about is how do you, if you is there a formal policy in place for representing SMB? Mm. I'm doing an event in DC next week. Could I just pop in and say I'm an SMEB, or is there an approval process, or, you know, what is?
No, I thought about that in the past too.
Yeah,
I thought about that too. Even as like incoming president, like, when am I wearing my SNEB president hat?
Right. And are there restrictions? You know, does it have to, like, is it an approval process, or does it have to align with the policy? Are we allowed to, you know, right? Because we don't want to, you know, we have an approval process for our policy papers. So do we have to potentially align with those if we're representing SNEB? And, you know, how careful do we have to be with that? So I guess I would just want to, with this one, if we are encouraging members to attend events, establishing some kind of rules for it or policy for it, or, you know, anyway.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, some of you may or may not know this. We have a whole host of partnerships that we have, and we have a representative kind of attached to that. But it's really, Rachel, you would agree, that's kind of really unofficial. Wouldn't you?
The collaborations are a little more official in that we report on them. Yeah, there's probably things happening at a couple levels, and the policies are somewhat restrictive on who can speak on behalf of SNEB. So I think it would be valid to say, if we consider this a strategy for increasing engagement, and that we need to look at the, you know, how these people are identified and what kind of guidelines they have in their role of representing SNEB.
Right. So is it any member? Is it kind of like the Academy does, where you've got designated, you know, almost speakers?
Yeah, that sounds good. Other thoughts on that? Okay, we are at 2:44, so, or Central Time. So I think that is pretty good under engagement. So I'm going to switch us to... I feel that the increasing diversity is more challenging. So let's go to just increase membership, Rachel, and see if we can put a few activities down under these. And we may find that this one and diversity, I have a feeling it might overlap. So is everybody okay with that?
Yeah, increase membership A and B. Maybe we can combine, increase the number of international and student members.
Yeah, so specific activities under these then. And I think we had some of them. Actually, I think from some of our first discussions, like we had the stratified membership level. I'm just looking back at some of our notes. So specific activities.
I think for the student membership, I know one thing we've tried a couple of times was the student liaison program. And so I think if we can try and get that going again and maybe try to strengthen that program, that could be a way to increase student membership. And also, I guess that would also be related to engagement, because the student who served as the liaison would be more engaged in the society, and then it's a potential way to reach other students and get them to join.
Okay. With our international, I think that we talked about some things
related to the existing Korean partnership, and it might be good to evaluate that and see if we can bring in more Korean members since that one's already in place. And then did we also talk a little bit about, it seems like could be good to explore doing, identifying if there's an additional partnership that would be viable with another country that might have kind of some needs and interests. It seems like that would be a connection, maybe a collaboration with Dyne, but I know Mary Marini has talked about some of the, and she's connected with some of the universities in Africa, so it might, I mean, I think there would need to be a process to determine what might be a viable partnership, but it seems like if the Korean partnership is working fairly well, then we can start using that as a model to perhaps seek out one additional partner. Over the next 3 years or whatever our time frame is.
Yeah, so specifically seek out, like engage, like other, I'm just trying to make sure I got it, Martha, just like engage other international societies in partnership and like specifically identify a few and engage them in discussions about what a partnership would look like.
I mean, it almost goes back to that needs assessment piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the landscape? Would there be other, another kind of similar, ways at least, situation where it's a kind of a win-win in terms of what the organization and the other country is looking for and how it could further SNEB's efforts, particularly internationally. But it does seem like, you know, to capitalize on the fact that we've got one, and I'm not sure what the ongoing assessment is of the effectiveness of that, but it seems like it would be good to get information on, you know, how many members are participating in that. Is there a way to grow that membership? But also use that as a model to, again, say over the next 3 years, have a goal of adding another one if the needs assessment indicates that that's a viable opportunity.
Yeah, I like being, and there's this one, yeah, being specific, like actually kind of targeting some potential ones. Yeah, like, and Rachel, you had the word identify up there, and I thought, well, that was good. I don't know where.
Well, what I was thinking is the partnerships have not really focused on increasing membership. I mean, the MOUs spell out levels of activity, like the joint awards. We let them come to the conference at a rate that's not as low as a member rate. So I think we've seen increase in conference participation, but I don't know that we've seen increased numbers of members. And so maybe we need to figure out what would attract a Korean society, they're already a member of the Korean society, what would attract them to also become a member of SNEB? I mean, if the goal is to increase membership and international membership, somehow I feel like we almost need to take these conversations to a different level.
Well, right. We need to figure out what will they get from it. Right. What opportunities do we offer? Is it a discount across both if they do a joint? You know, so is it financial? And then are there added benefits to them?
Well, and that's a good reminder of how that's set up, Rachel. And so it may even be that it's not exactly, I mean, I think it's important to evaluate the Korean society model, but it may be that there's even greater benefit to say, an organization from another country that isn't as structured as they are, you know, I mean, where it really would be their more primary membership really is SNEB, but there's some almost maybe like the state affiliates. It's like a country affiliate that would kind of channel them more directly to SNEB membership and might even show a greater need because they don't have similar resources available like the Korean Society might for their members.
Yeah, that's good.
And again, I think Diane might have some really good perspective on this, and Mary Marini might, given her work and her connections with some of that, with Kenya and other Africans.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah, so maybe Nigeria doesn't have its own nutrition society, but they become some type of an affiliate of SNEB.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of like that. And maybe it's tied with the university there, you know, that has a nutrition program or, you know, just thinking of different ways. Yeah, it doesn't always have to be the official society. Maybe it's more of the program of study, which is a little more similar to the NEDPRO. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So moving us on to the retaining early professionals. And I think whatever D was.
Oops. Come back here.
Okay, yeah. I wonder, like, so.
Maybe we can remove the E. Maybe that will include it in A.
Possibly. Yeah, put it up there for now, Rachel. Yeah, so whether they're international or not, or, yeah, I think that makes sense. So I was wondering under retain early professionals at a higher level and identifying who is publishing, I feel like the action there is some sort of, and we have been following up. So I wanted to pick, you know, on Andrea a little bit based on her experience with membership, like what would be our good next step for retaining people or kind of doing this engage invite strategy based on our experience that we've recently done. I don't know if Andrea's still on.
I am. So what does, can you retain early professionals that are hired? Oh, just keeping more of them in?
Yeah, yeah. So we get a lot of students and we even get people that kind of sign up for the early professional, but then they kind of fall off.
I know. I feel like this is where I always keep putting it on the divisions, but obviously somehow we're not meeting their needs. And it's so hard to figure out those gaps because we don't have contact with them anymore. We did discuss, I mean, this is a very simple step, but we did discuss and we're going to follow up on this and then put a recommendation forward to the board. The possibility of imitating what American Public Health Association of Public Health does in terms of offering a a new category of a lower income or lower salary requirement for these professionals that may not, you know, make as much, that would be slightly discounted. But I don't know, this is a really hard one. There's obviously something that we're
This is
the gap that we're, trying to figure out what that is, whether it's what we're offering at the conference or a gap in those divisions.
Go ahead, Jamie.
So, when you say early professionals, who are you talking about? I mean, how would you describe this group of people?
Maybe from students to start working or something like that?
Start working where? At what level? The reason I'm asking that is that you know, this, I think one of the challenges of this organization, all in all, is that it's intended to serve, and to at least some extent does, both practitioners and researchers. And I have long felt that the issue with getting young researchers involved is the lack of sort of rigorous, high-quality research. Mm-hmm. It's presented. I mean, it's not a conference from my perspective, and I don't mean this unkindly. I've said it before to the board. But it's if an assistant professor asks me, what conferences would you advise me to go to? I would have a really hard time saying SNEB. I would say ISBNPA and, even ASN.
Yeah, so we do have the new research division that was established, because I think that was, they were trying to address that.
Just in response to why we don't keep new members, I think practitioners, it has to do with the cost, and I think with
Jamie, that's what we're going for with this new category, is exactly that, potentially practitioners that are a lower salary, so it could or it may or may not coincide with the early professionals.
Right.
Yeah, but both are a thing.
And I know, I'm not sure if SNEB does this, but I know with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, they have, after your student, like, they have a stepped membership payment that until you, I think it might be more expensive, but I think it was over like 5 years or something, where it gradually increases until you get to like the full membership rate. So when you're an early professional, you don't have that big jump in cost. It's only slightly more expensive. And then over time, it goes up and gradually gets you to the full membership cost. So I don't know if something like that to consider, or even just like the first year at a discounted rate. And I'm not sure SNEB might do that, but Rachel,
But the first year is, so if you're a student, you're 60, the first year is 100 as an early professional. It is only 1 year at the early professional rate, but actually we get very few people who even make it to that category. So once they move from student, they just disappear completely. So the step may be some focused research, or increased communication, or some kind of a mentor, like a one-on-one mentorship. How do you move them? Because we're not even hearing back from them that says, hey, the change in the dues is $40, and that's, we're losing them even then.
Yeah, I wonder if a strategy here or a tactic might be, I know we've tried to highlight the value of an SNEB membership, and we've talked for, Jamie brought it up, how we kind of have the practitioner and the researcher, and there's been other flavors of our conversation about, kind of all of the, what we would historically call kind of paraprofessionals, or like lay health workers or community health workers that might be working in nutrition, and is SNEB a place for them? So I feel like kind of is an exploratory, but a kind of back to that needs assessment, is who is SNEB really a home for, and do we expand our scope? Is that feasible? Or do we kind of maintain the scope we have? And then I would even argue, are we doing that, the scope we have, if it is researchers and practitioners, are we doing that well?
Well, Jennifer, that seems to be in our new mission statement, the research part, right? So I don't know if this is something to evaluate at a higher level if we're not doing it great.
Jennifer, I really, what I hear you saying, and I really totally support it, is becoming too broad so that we don't meet anyone's
right. Yeah.
And, you know, I have never, I know there are people that are my peers across the country that totally disagree with me, but I do not think, at least from my state's perspective, that SNEB is a place for paraprofessional staff. They barely can travel to Ithaca for a meeting, never mind going nationally, and we don't have the money to support them, and they don't make enough money to support themselves. And I just, you know, I think they would find it very exciting once or twice, but I don't think we would be able to meet their needs unless we completely reorganize the organization. That's right, my opinion. Not everybody agrees with it, and I recognize that.
Well, that's where if we got to a point where the state affiliates were so robust, right? Like, that would be kind of the only, not the only, but... Or when we are all holograms and we can just travel. Where, I'm sorry.
There you go. But I mean, even at the state affiliate level, we have state FNEP meetings, we have state SNAP Ed meetings. You know, anyway, it's just my thought.
Yeah. Well, one of the topics I'm just kind of glancing back, and I feel it fits here, is engaging more with federal agencies in membership. Mm-hmm. And so when I think of SNAP-Ed and FNEP and child nutrition and all of that, we have all these national things. So is there a closer alignment with those national programs? I don't know. Or is that not our role? So, and maybe we're going way too far here, and you can tell me, like, now's not the time. But it's like, so there's these national nutrition programs that do nutrition education, and we're the Society for Nutrition Education. So how closely do we align? Or how do we, I guess? And it is 3 o'clock Central Time. So Rachel, obviously we have lots more, not lots, but we've made some dents here, but I don't want to keep people over. So given where we are, what do you recommend for the next step of this group, or how do we kind of wrap this up?
Do we feel like we need another call to continue the discussion, or do we want to, I mean, we've kind of been working through the lists that we have. Do you want to send out a survey and kind of poll on these items? What's everybody feel more comfortable with?
What is the group thing? I think the conversation actually at this point has been really rich, but I do want to be mindful of people's time.
I mean, you have time to schedule another call. The other groups are probably not going to meet for at least another 2 weeks. So you would not fall behind if you wanted to try to get, we could get a doodle poll out to, find another time to meet.
It helps me to hear what other people have to say, and all, rather than sit in the isolation of my office and look at things.
Well, let me do that then. Let's start with getting a doodle poll out and see if we can get the group back together sometime within the next roughly 2-3 weeks.
Next, is that okay with others? Andrea, Martha?
Not available.
That works for me.
Me too. I like the I agree that the talking is really helpful. You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. And we acknowledge that maybe not everybody. Krisha, you've been on all three. So so if you're not available, we'll be sure to, you know, send them out electronically too.
Well, yeah. And the whiteboard will stay up here. So be sure, you know, feel free to add your comments, other ideas into the whiteboard, and we can review those.
Yeah. If the meeting is before June 15th, I will be here, but otherwise.
Oh, okay. We'll definitely shoot. I'll try and get a poll out tomorrow and see if we can reconnect in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, that's good.
Thanks, everybody. I know this was some heavy lifting on this one, but I think the discussions we've gotten pretty far and really narrowed the activities, and I think that'll be really good for the board as we move forward. So thanks for agreeing to do a session three, round two. Or session three, part B. and we'll continue this hopefully within the next 2 weeks. So thanks again, and watch for the doodle poll from Rachel.
Thank you.
Thanks for your leadership, Jennifer.
No problem. Thanks, all of you. This was great.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Right.
Oh, shoot.
Hold on.
Oh, wait. Did I?